Christ, the Son of the living God. We have in the message from the Genesis the blessing of the delivering, the covenant, and the failure of it. Today, the Bible verses from the Genesis 9:18-27, that's what we read. We have raised us the partisans to really revive all the people in this world. And so if we really raised as the partisan of the God, then we should really know how, through the business, how we can really revive and where exactly are you going to build and form the partisan. It should be inside of yourself first. And today's message is from the Genesis. And Genesis is not really just one of the books in the Bible. It actually has all the essence in it. Because we, all of us, have to really understand the book of Genesis without knowing it. Knowing the book of Genesis and try to have a walk of faith, then it's not going to be really the walk of faith. Why? Because all the things really occurred in the book of Genesis. So if you can really understand the book of Genesis, we can really understand the foundation of the human beings. In the book of Genesis, it says that all the start of the beginning of the mankind is written, recorded in the Genesis 1:26-28. God himself, he said, let's create the human in the image of God, in the image of ourselves. And that's how that man and woman were created. Then God is the one who created us. God created mankind. And he created us in the image of God. In another word, we are the spiritual beings. That's how we are created. That's why we were actually distinguished from all the creatures, because we can't really be any other creatures, but we were created in the image of God and we have received the breath of life in us. So we are different from animals. So you shouldn't really treat human as one of the animals, because these days we really say that we have the same life with the animals, but those people really say it because they don't understand the book of Genesis. On this earth, of course, in God's eyes, we were creatures. However, we have the difference between the animals and the human beings. Which means that the God Spirit is in us. So you should make sure that to tell these things to the non-believers. And also Genesis records all the start of the beginning of the problems that started from the Genesis 3. Why people and why human have the failure? Why do we have the sufferings and pains? Why do we have the physical, mental, life problems? Because we are separate from God. We were deceived by Satan, and all the problems really started from there. That's why on this earth we have no choice but to really have the life like a hell and have the hardship. But these things really started in the Genesis 3. That's why it recorded. Not only the problems, then God himself really became all the answers for the human. That is Genesis 3:15. Offspring of woman will come and then he will crush the head of Satan. What do we mean by the head of serpent? What does that mean? In the Revelation 9, it says the old snake, that so-called the Satan or devil is the one who really have all the authority in the air of the earth. But to crush the head of this Satan, then the offspring of woman will be sent. So the problem occurred in the Genesis 3, but at the same time, the answer was given in the Genesis 3:15. So all the problems are written in the book of Genesis, but all the problem and answers are in also the Genesis 3. So when you really have the problems, you shouldn't really fall into the problems, but rather you should really look at the answers. Because it's promised that the Christ will be sent. All the main beings of this Genesis 3 is actually Satan. But we should really have someone who can really overcome this spiritual being that is God himself. And as the Christ, God came to this earth to crush the head of Satan. So you are coming out from this, and that's what we call the salvation. You are saved. If you are saved, then you become a God's child. So Genesis 3:21, God himself really crushed the head of Satan, and then he said he himself will really save you. Then God really gave the garment of skin and gave them to Adam and Eve, which means that a sacrifice of the animals should really shed its blood to really cover, to forgive your sins, which means that the Christ should be really crucified on the cross and they should die for our sins. That was the prophecy of the Christ. And to really enjoy that, you really have to be successful in the worship. Which means your sacrifice, offering will be your witness, will be the sign. What does that mean? That all the burnt offering, burnt sacrifice, which means Christ. Wherever you come to the worship, you have to bring the name of Jesus Christ so that all the darkness will be really bound down. All the authority, all the power of the hell and then darkness will be really cast away. Because the Abel really grabbed hold onto the covenant of this blood and then gave that offering to God. Then the Genesis said offering really became the sign. All other religion do have the worship, but it's actually very ritual. Because they will just really, there's no burnt sacrifice. There's no Christ. So when you really have the worship, you really have to understand the Christ and really give the worship. Otherwise, everything will be very ritual. Because Catholics don't really have the Christ in it. There's no burnt sacrifice. So the Christ is the one who can really solve our problems in the family line, ourselves. And Christ is the one that you really have to grab hold on to. And when you really give the offering and the worship within the Christ, then you can be successful in the worship. So Cain actually killed Abel. And instead of Abel, then God really gave the Seth to Eve. Then there is the genealogy of Noah. So from Adam to Noah, there are 10 generations taking 1,000 years. So after 1,000 years later of Adam appeared, there was Noah. The very important part was about that they gave a birth of such person, and they lived this long, and then they died. And why it was really important? Because it was really recorded who really grabbed hold on to the covenant and passed that on to the next generation. Throughout the 10 generations, it said that there were 100,000 people. However, it was recorded the Bible really recorded those who really grabbed hold onto the covenant. Adam was actually living in the Garden of Eden. Then he was recreated by God. And then to start with, Adam and Eve were only two human to live in the garden. However, they got corrupted. They got expelled from the garden. So only way to be really saved and to really grab hold onto the covenant of the Genesis 3:15, and then it was the only way for them to really give the burnt offering sacrifice. So that covenant was actually delivered to the Cain and Abel, but Cain actually lost hold of the covenant, and he really became the murderer. He killed Abel, and then Abel was killed. However, the Seth was given by God. And through Seth, these people are really coming out until 930 years old, and Adam really lived. And that means he really lived through the 9 generations. And what exactly did he really do? He was really grabbed hold onto the covenant of Genesis 3:15 and then keep delivering to that people in that family line. So you should really be someone who really delivered this covenant. Indeed, we have to really deliver this covenant to your descendants. Why do we have to really deliver this covenant? Because of the Genesis 3. If we don't really crush the darkness of Satan, we can't really solve all these pains and darkness. So that's why we really have to meet God first, and then we really have to grab hold on to that covenant, and we have to really deliver this covenant of God to the offsprings. So in the chapter 6, it talks about Noah and the other people. So he was actually having this ark movement. He was really doing the Christ movement, the world movement, salvation movement, life movement. And to Noah, God really gave all the blessings so that he can really revive the 1H. Then through Noah, through this ark. So how long did they really live on the ark? It took 1 year. Then after a year, they finally landed. Of course, all the human beings were all dead. Then Noah and his families are only the ones who really survived. And through family of Noah, then all this land was really filled. God really created everything. Then He really created everything very in a perfect way. But because of Noah's flood, after that, after the whole earth was all soaked by water, it was all in the water, and everything was just stirred. It was all mixed inside of the water. There is no order. It was all a mixture. Everything just really turned over upside down. So that's why there is nothing left in order. But that time, the Noah actually landed. And then that time, he really planted the vineyard. That's how he really started having the agriculture. And then he had grapes, and he had wine, and he was drunken probably. Then he just fell asleep. There was Ham. So he saw the Noah being naked, and he talked. Ham talked to the Shem and Japheth. Japheth. Then he didn't. These two didn't really look at Noah being naked. But so Noah woke up, and then Noah cursed Ham. But to Shem and Japheth were blessed by Noah. All these races between all this. Shem, who is Shem? It's Noah's. So Shem is the next generation after Noah. So after a year, Noah came out, and he made the vineyard, and to start from there, after all this thing happened, Shem. Shem really grabbed hold onto the covenant that was delivered from Noah accurately. So there is something that you really have to grab hold onto. Shem and Ham. The last one is Japheth. Japheth. The important thing here is that Shem grab hold on to the covenant of Noah in accurately and informally. And Japheth, what did he do? What was he doing? He has received this great blessing, actually. He received the blessing of the finances. And with that blessing, financial blessing, and then he actually returned to Shem. Then Japheth. Ham. It actually became the canon, and then he became the servant, slaves of the Shem. After there will be the incident of the Tower of Babel, the leader of the Babel Tower is actually the descendant of the Ham. They were cursed, they became the slaves. And they were the servants. That's who they were. But they lost hold of the covenant. They couldn't really believe in the God's promise. So they really followed their own thoughts and then tried to build the bubble, tower of the bubble. Then the leader of that building the tower of Babel is actually the descendant of Ham. Noah was drunk because of the wine, and he was naked, sleeping. So from there, all they really have the different views. You should really change the sight, the views. So because Ham was very legalistic. But the Shem and Japheth was really centered with the gospel. Who will be blessed? Those who will be really legalistic will be blessed, or someone who will be centered with the gospel will be blessed. Those who really are centered with the gospel will be blessed. So when you really look at the problems, because if you really have the legalistic eyes, and you will be judging the people. So actually, their father was actually doing something shameful. Then the Ham was just spreading all these things, what Noah was doing, to his siblings. And that's how he actually accused Noah. But Shem and Japheth, even though the Ham said something like that, instead of really looking at the Noah being naked, they actually went there and they covered it up. So the gospel-centered people will not try to touch the scars of someone. They will try to really revive all these people, and then we can really have the gospel to revive. Even if they really have some kind of thorn, then you can even try to hide it, cover it. So after Noah woke up and then he just heard what happened, then to Ham, you will be the servant of the slaves. You know all the system of the slaves back then. Who were the slaves? Then those people really became all the slaves, and then descendant of Ham became the slaves. That's where it started. Japheth really received the financial blessings. Then with that blessing, he really made it greater. And then who did he really return to? He really returned to the Shem, who really grabbed hold onto the covenant and the gospel. If you really grab hold onto the covenant of the gospel, then the God will really attach you, those who really have the financial power. So it's not really you who will just try to so hard to earn money. If you really if you do that, you really have to grab hold onto the covenant firmly. So even all these wealthy people will be attached to you. You should really receive that kind of blessing. That's what God did. So the descendant of Ham, this descendant of Ham became the servant of the slaves. That was the disciple movement. Without the covenant, can you really have the discipleship, disciple movement? If you really grab hold onto the covenant, then you can't really have the movement. Those who really have who will support you and help you financially, all these people will be attached to the covenant. That this is the content of the Genesis 9. Today, I bless all of you to really receive these blessings. The Satan will use someone who is really legalistic. Then that's how people will be divided into groups. And those who really have the legalisms, then that's how the Satan will be working, and then their offsprings will be really destroyed. So when you really look at the problems, you really have to look at the problems with the covenant of the Genesis 3:15. There's no problems that cannot be solved. If you have to really look at the Bible. Genesis 10 says that Shem Ham's son was Cush. What does that mean? It means the black. Ham. The descendant of Ham, and Cush is the Cush really means the black. The people in the Ethiopia. So that is coming from the West America. So their skin color will be a little darker. Those people are the ones who were really living as slaves. They were really doing the slavery. Because these are the people who, because of Ham, who really saw the naked father, he had the choice of to tell, not to tell. But why did Noah really curse his son? Because the authority of God was actually given to Noah. So if Noah says something, then everything can be cursed. That was the authority actually that the Noah had. So when he really cursed Ham, then all his descendants were actually cursed. Cush actually is the father of Nimrod. Nimrod became the first leader. He is the mighty warrior. He was really keen. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Then like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. That's what people it said. Nimrod. What does a Nimrod mean? It means the someone who will really who will go against. Ham, from the father of Ham. So that all the third other generations, they were cursed, and what kind of scars they actually had. How much all this evilness was really passed on throughout the offspring, and then that's why when it comes to some kind of things going against God, he was actually used. Nimrod was really used. And through Nimrod, what was created, the Tower of Babel was built. So those who really grab hold onto the covenant have no choice but to be used by Satan. And they will be standing at the very front line to really go against God. They don't love God. They will be thinking about their evilness. They will be thinking of their own scars. So to hide their scars, they will start creating something. When Noah was told by God to really come out from the ark, then God said, had the promise of rainbow, covenant of the rainbow, that he will not destroy all the human beings by the water. So the people, they really should grab hold onto that kind of covenant, but they don't really think about that, of the covenant. They'll be thinking about their own things and their own scars. God really wiped all the humans by the water. So we have to really grab hold onto the covenant. We should really build all the high tower so that the God cannot really wipe us by the water. But that's how all the descendant of Ham and the Nimrod really started building the tower. So we really fall into the scars and into our own thoughts. They don't even follow the God's word. Nimrod and his descendants, who really lost hold of the covenant, will just follow their own thoughts. God said those who really can listen to my word and then follow it, then all the throughout the thousand of years, throughout all the eternal generations, they'll be blessed. But if you lost hold of the covenant, and all your descendants and offsprings will really become like Nimrod. Whatever it is, you will just go against it. And even if God says something, but you will still try to go against. So it's really important to make sure that you deliver this accurate gospel and covenant to your offsprings. You have to grab hold onto that covenant, and you really have to make sure that you will raise up all this, your children, within the gospel. Genesis 10:10, the first center of his kingdom were Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh. Those who read those sort of the covenant, they always do something go against. Then they even pick the Sodom and Gomorrah. So that all the land that had been really cursed, they usually take, they always take that some like destroy the things all the time. They have. So even if it's hard for yourself, you really have to think about yourself here. You're really in the covenant or not? You grab hold onto the covenant or not? You really have to look at yourself. Because if something is visible, it doesn't really mean it's always good things. Genesis 13. Ot. So it was before that God destroyed the Sodom and Gomorrah. Then just like Egypt, and then everything was looked very prosperity. So just like the Garden of Eden, the Sodom and Gomorrah really looked so prosperous, and then it looked so great. And it really looked like the blessed land. However, Abraham aged, then that Sodom and Gomorrah was actually full of all the wickedness and the evils, the things or the places that they lost hold of the covenant, maybe it really looks like you can really earn lots of money. Or people will start thinking like if they can really work hard and they can really earn money, then that was the town, city of Sodom and Gomorrah, then people's thought. So, but if you really look at the result of that area, everything was really destroyed. And even the result, if you really look at the result, you have to really look at all this result of this. Right now, things are really going well, but you really have to look at this result. Because those who really grab hold onto the covenant, then God is the one who will really bless thousands of generations. You shouldn't really be swayed with the covenant of the gospel. You should really grab hold onto the covenant of Christ, and you should really make sure that your walk of faith is within the covenant. It's very important to God is the one who really created and started the humankind. But you have to really make sure that this is the blessing of the worship to really keep entering into the covenant. And that's the most important things. Right now, you just really look at something that is just really temporary and just right now. But you just try to follow that temporary things. However, you really have to look at yourself if you really have the covenant in you. And you, what you're really doing is for the sake of the covenant. So I bless all of you to grab hold on to the covenant. The Genesis 13. It talks about the Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. How wealthy and prosperous it was. It really looked like the Garden of Eden, but everything was corrupted and destroyed. 18:19, Sodom and Gomorrah. It just talks about how the Sodom and Gomorrah were really destroyed, and then all these things really became the Dead Sea. Nimrod, through the person Nimrod, all the Tower of Babel was recorded and happened in the Genesis 9. Why am I talking about the Genesis, book of Genesis? If you really don't know the Genesis, then you really have to, all the walk of faith will be wondering if you don't really follow the covenant. Then the leader of the Tower of Babel was actually the Nimrod. Because of the Ham who really lost hold of the covenant, his descendant, was really making a sin in front of God and then going against God. And then what they came up with was that let's block this flood. Let's block this disaster by our own power. They even made the refugee by themselves. Why? Because they experienced this flood. Then at the end, we will be the one making this Tower of Babel, and then let's make our names high. Then they really became the anti-God. Without God, we want to be successful. That's how arrogant they were. Throughout all these cultures, everything was really going with them was really anti-God. You really become the success without the God, then that will actually leading you to the destruction. That's why God destroyed the Tower of Babel. That's why after the success, many people still commit suicide. They invested a lot in the fortune telling, some kind of rituals. Why? Because they have these anxieties after their success. Some people got this huge house built, but the fortune teller said, shaman said, if you can't really live there, because if you live there, someone in your family will die. So he actually built all this house, and then he really lived. And then that's when the Reverend Liu actually entered there, started living there. So Reverend Liu talked about it. So the non-believers really built this huge house, but because the fortune teller said you shouldn't live there, if you live there, then the people will die. Then they really had all this anxiety living there. So then they actually got this auction. Then that's when Reverend Liu actually won this. After he moved in, nothing happened. Why? What is this? Because he grabbed hold onto the covenant, he is completely out of the fate and destiny. He is really out of the hand of Satan. So even it doesn't really matter that if the shamans or fortune teller says something will happen, it's not really the God's word. Then that's why if you really grab hold onto the covenant, those people will enjoy. So one thing, you really have to grab hold of the covenant and make sure that you will deliver this to the next generation. It should be your prayer topic for this week. How exactly can I really deliver this covenant to my child, to the offsprings, instead of giving all these disasters and problems to our offsprings? You should really pray like that. It's very important. So we really look at the blessings of the delivering the covenant and then failure of it. I bless all of you to really fulfill all this covenant and blessing in this week. Thank you, God. Throughout this, all this precious God's word, to bless us so that we can really be the witnesses to grab hold onto the covenant accurately and to be able to deliver to the next generation, so let's be able to check ourselves, check our descendants and offsprings, so that they can really be in the covenant, and then God can use our family line. Thank you in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.